Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with speculators, hedgers, online traders, broker-assisted, hybrid categories, a mix of both, and very popular. We are back from the Thanksgiving break, and if you want to know more about me, just come on over to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. You can also find me at Twitter at turnerstake, and all that information's in the show notes. So, yeah, we had Thanksgiving last week. It was Monday and Tuesday, and into Wednesday we saw some trading, but as Wednesday went on and Thursday were closed and Friday was a half day, not a whole went on. I guess the big story last week was really, and we kind of saw this coming, the sell-off in the corn market on Wednesday, as all the longs who didn't want to risk delivery got out. And then on Friday, we saw that selling pressure alleviate, and also the funds short covering on the Friday, which basically just brought us back to the levels where we started off in the beginning of the week. So that is where we are now. Let's take a look here. Big macro news. The big macro news is Trump saying that if they don't get a deal here, they're still going to raise tariffs in, I think it's December 15th. It's about 11 or 12 days away. And there may not be a trade deal done until after the election. So he's basically saying, get it done now. If not, tariffs are going higher. And we're not going to do this trade deal until after there's an election. So the market didn't like that. Stock market's down. Was down pretty good. Now, stock market recently been trading all-time highs, but I think we were down 30 or 40 points in the S&P. Yesterday, down another 30 today. So the gold and silver markets were higher. So that's been the macro theme. Some of the commodity markets also reacted to that, too, and we'll get in that in a little bit. But from the macro perspective, dollar remains strong. What is another story that came out yesterday, which I don't think the market liked either, was the president saying that they're going to raise tariffs or put tariffs on Argentina and Brazil for steel and aluminum because, as he claims, you know, they're weakening their currencies, which by doing so, the United States dollar goes up, and then our exports aren't as competitive. So he thinks there needs to be tariffs on that. Whether there should be tariffs or not, really not for me to say. However, I will add this, you know, while Argentina and Brazil currencies have depreciated, I mean, keep this in mind, where Brazil, the real is about 4.25 to 1 on the dollar. That's the weakest it's been that I can remember. And, you know, I think with the Argentina peso has been weak for a while. I would say, you know, when these nations, it's kind of a cycle. You know, we had a lot of QE in this country 10 years ago, and we made a lot of money available at very cheap rates, selling that debt, and in order for the United States to raise money, right? And then what happened is, over time, the United States stopped QE. We actually started letting some of this debt retire and taking away liquidity in the marketplace. What that does is it creates a shortage of dollars, and it creates higher interest rates and demand for that dollar, right? And we've seen that. We saw that was the trend of the Fed going. It's also the trend in the actual currency. Currencies also have a supply and demand factor. There's only so many dollars, and I know a lot of us like to joke that the Fed's always printing money, or the Treasury's always printing money, and they can, but, you know, if they're not, then there is a demand for dollars, and a demand for any kind of currency is huge, and the speculation behind it, or just the business need for it, is, you know, either doing business in that country, so you have to go in and use your currency to buy the currency you're doing business in. So if I'm in Europe or in South America, I'm selling my currency, buying dollars, so I can do business in the United States. That goes for debt too. So if a lot of debt was issued here during the QE years, and you're still holding on to that debt, you know, let's say you had $100,000 in debt, and for these countries it's a lot more, but I'm going to use $100,000 just to make the math simple. And then all of a sudden your currency devalues, 10%. You know, the debt you hold is 10% worth less, but you also have to go back to the debt you hold is priced in U.S. dollars. So the U.S. dollar, your debt is now getting more expensive, not only on the principal compared to your local currency, but also on the coupon and interest payments. So then what happens is those local currencies then have to print more money or find more money in order to pay basically higher interest rates, higher coupon payments on debt. And it creates this cycle. It creates this cycle where, you know, countries just can't keep up if their currency keeps on devaluing. And the thing is, it's very difficult then to get out of that spiral. So unless they get economic growth, or there's political and government changes or something like that. But if nothing's really done, it's very difficult for some of these countries to do that. So I understand the high U.S. dollar. Part of it is because our Fed has tightened up and increased interest rates. Part of it, too, is the economy here is doing all right as compared to the rest of the world. And a part of it is probably foreign nations, you know, have some wiggle room on how tight or loose they want to be with policy. And they're probably being more looser to devalue their own prices or their ability to export. And that really seems, you know, these last tariffs, you know, is kind of like a backlash on the South American currencies coming up. I think Trump specifically said it's hurting farmers, but I don't know how much the price of the currency is really in the hand at this point of Brazil or Argentina. I'm sure they can let it float at some point, but they're not going to be able to drastically get these currency rates higher. They can be supportive, but if it's going to go lower, it's going to go lower. So I don't know. We'll see how long these tariffs stay on aluminum and steel. I wouldn't be surprised if the administration looked for a way to quickly get out of that too. Maybe make some kind of quick deal. But anyways, that's the macro news for the week. And it's not bullish. So I will say the only bullish thing is that we are hearing reports that Argentina may add taxes back onto soybeans, corn, and wheat, go back to previous levels. I'm going to say soybeans would jump from like 20 to 35%, and corn would go from like 7 to 20, and wheat was around 7 and maybe go up to 15. They were pretty big, and that would create about $2 billion a year for Argentina to help them pay back their loans to the world banks. And what's going to happen is when it'll cost less selling from Argentina, and also probably take out of rotation marginal acres too. So it won't be bullish this year for the grain markets, but it would definitely be bullish next year for the grain markets when planting decisions. Planting decisions already been made in South America. They planted it. But for next year, it would make a difference. So that's one nugget of good news there. In terms of the actual markets, let's move away from the macro. On the grain side, wheat here has reversed on the charts, and I'm talking about the Chicago wheat, after making quite a run, not just in the market itself, but also against Kansas City and Minneapolis wheat. If you follow those spreads, it's really been something to watch here. I mean, I'm looking at these wheat. If I'm a farmer or I'm a hedger or even just a trader, you look at that wheat chart. We basically failed over the past couple of days at some really big resistance points, and now it looks like a classic reversal on the chart. Wouldn't be surprised if and also too, yeah, Russia has really come in to the market here and started selling wheat on the world market. So I think wheat was down 11. I think that momentum's going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if wheat, December wheat's about 532. I wouldn't be surprised if we started a test like that 505 area, $5 area again. In terms of, let's see, and that's Dece 19, sorry. Here we go, July. July is $5.30 also, and I wouldn't be surprised if we tested that $5. So, and for Dece 20, we're about $5.47. I mean, I can see us coming down here. If I'm a wheat producer, I'm looking to sell this. I think we've hit a double top in the short term, and I know there's shortages of soft red winter wheat, but we will have a new crop come June, July. So if we are up, what, 40, 50, almost 60 cents in Chicago wheat since late August, early September. It's probably time to hedge that. I wouldn't even mind looking at something on the spec side, too. However, for corn and soybeans, we're a little bit more bullish outlook. It is, so soybeans right now in January at 870. There's some real support in this 860, 65 area. In the late August, early September low was about 868, 867. So we're not too far from that. We did touch that today, and we came up. If we go lower and break lower, you got to argue for 840, maybe 860, then 840 on beans. But if the market really thinks the carryout is going to be sub 500, it's hard to argue for beans that low. Now, if the market is arguing for carryouts to be in the 500s or 600s, maybe that's why the funds are so short. They're, like last week, they were long 20,000 contracts. Or 2 weeks ago, and then they sold 60,000 contracts of soybeans, which was much more than people thought they'd be. So they're net short as of the last commitment of traders report, about 43,000 contracts. Based on what they've been selling lately, they're probably closer to 60,000 contracts right now. They're short. That's a lot for this time of year, especially with Argentina getting dry. But if there's going to be nothing done on the China front, then maybe the mid to high eights is where soybeans should live for a little while until something else develops. I like to think a trade deal will get done, but unfortunately, that may not be in the cards. We're also hearing of China now buying soybeans again from South America. They bought the 10 million metric tons that they said they would, allotted, and now they're going back to going to South America. So, when the WASDE comes out a week from today, the USDA typically does not lower production in the December WASDE. If they're going to make production changes, and we think they should be a little bit lower, they're going to do that in January. The only thing I can really remember the USDA doing in December report is adjusting demand. And you could make the case soybean demand could come down a little bit. Definitely make the case that corn demand should come down a little bit. I think that's what we're going to see. So going forward, I like beans. I want to kind of start small. I like these levels. Maybe some of the spreads might be interesting, like Novi Nov. I think at this point you could probably try to put some lowball offers in for soybeans and try to pick some up. Maybe get creative with the meal and meal spreads. But I do think there's some value down here in soybeans. But I don't want to get heavy, and I want to see some kind of reversal on the chart. I really would like to see some kind of reversal on the chart. So probably won't put anything out in Turner's Take in the newsletter until we see some kind of reversal or real test of support and the bounce up. So hopefully that happens soon. In terms of corn, I still like being short the back months of corn, like the Dece 20s and the March 21s, and we're going to keep those hedges on. I don't mind buying a little bit of the front month here. I think we could rally. I talked to farmers out there right now, and this wet corn, they're having issues. They really are trying to store it, put it in the bin. They're having a tough time of it. It looks like elevators really don't want the wet corn, and if they're taking it, it's really marking down the price a lot. There's gonna be yield loss. Crop progress yesterday, I think nationally about 88% done, but North Dakota was only 30% done. I want to say Wisconsin and maybe Michigan. It's definitely Wisconsin was 66%. There was another. It was either South Dakota. I think it was South Dakota. It's only 66% done too. So there's going to be about a billion bushels of corn out there this winter. And what's interesting is when the USDA does their quarterly stocks report, all that corn up in the Dakotas or up north is going to be, they'll first count that as on-farm storage because, I mean, technically the corn's on-farm and it's being stored, I guess, and stored in the fields before being harvested, but it's going to be, the USDA is going to call that on-farm storage. So we won't see the quarterly stocks have a big impact at the end of the year, but the USDA could reduce yields, just based on how much corn is out there. That is something that they could do. So I think corn, December on first notice day was down in like the mid 360s. That's probably the major support level for March. I don't think we're going over 2 billion carryout. So 360, 365 should be supportive. And we're probably in a range of top of like 395, maybe $4. There's a lot of farmers out there that want to sell at 395 or higher. So there'd be a lot of, we would have to have a very good reason. We'd have to have a very good reason to go above that, which is going to probably be, if it happens, maybe if Argentina gets real dry. I'm going to guess that's what, or... Yeah, if Argentina gets real dry, because we're not going to have any help from the USDA until January. So that's where we see the grain markets now. I want to keep our hedges in place. And if I do think if you want to get long some corn here in the front months in what's now is old crop, I like that. I do. I can see that. And then if we do get the rally, you pull that off and you keep the hedges on the D's 20 and the March 21 on. Let's go over to the livestock. Here we go. Hogs made a... Some technicians would call for a reversal on hogs today. We opened up lower than yesterday's close, and we closed higher than yesterday's open. If you look at December, February, April, May... and June, all technically reversed. Now, hog market can be tough with technical signals. It's a kind of a little bit of an insider's market. If the cash prices fall apart and no one believes, the China deal is going to happen, we keep on going lower. Part of me thinks that the reason why the hog market came down from the mid-70s into the high 60s probably is because the market threw in the towel for China. A Chinese trade deal. There is probably a lot of support for the hog market in the mid 60s, and I can see us actually. You can make the case we're seeing the sign of reversal. So I still like the Feb versus April on pullbacks, and I like February hogs. I think could be a little more range bound. Buying support and selling resistance. I can see arguing for both, but I do think we're at these levels now where there is value. There is going to be a trading range, and probably the risk now is to the upside for the short sellers, because China has been buying pork with the tariffs. That's been the one interesting thing. With cotton they haven't, and with soybeans they haven't. They haven't needed to, but for pork they have been. They have been buying the pork with the tariffs on there and willingly to do so. So. And pork prices are starting to rise again in China. So we'll see what happens there. And then with Trump today, when he announced the tariffs and maybe not getting a deal until next year, you would have thought the hog market would have really sold off there, and it didn't. It actually went higher. It actually reversed. So that is very interesting. Had that negative news come out and then have a reversal pattern or a bottoming pattern on the chart, let's keep an eye on the hog market, see what happens there. As far as the livestock, looks like we are going to be range-bound for a while here. Funds are very long, and a lot of people and analysts think that the cash prices in the futures are fully valued. I don't think there's a ton of risk to the upside or the downside right now. If I'm a hedger, I'd be looking to price some cattle in the back months. This is the time of year where cattle can tend to make seasonal highs or when we have the biggest demand for it. That'll usually bring the back months up higher than we might deserve. So we'll probably take a look at hedging or selling some of those. Or bear spreading, like the farther out months. I think MRCI has a bear spread in cattle. What was it? It is... Saw one today about selling February and being long August. There's probably some others out there. And that'll be interesting. I'll take a look at that too and probably write about it when I have some time tomorrow with the newsletter. And that is really where we are on the livestock. So that's what we're expecting on livestock. So we have we're at about 20 minutes here. That's usually where the and I will be speaking next week. I'm going to be at one of the Wiffles dinners, and I'm very excited about that. It really kicks off the for me the speaking season. I'll be doing that, and I'll be doing a couple other events in January and February. If they're public, I will let you know. If they're private, I'll just be kind of out of the office for a day or two. But especially in February, I'm going to be hosting my own event. So I'm looking at places in central Illinois, in Indiana, up in Wisconsin, over in Iowa, probably between like 250, 300 miles radius of Chicago, and then expand on that next year. If you know of any events or you need a speaker, let me know, and I'll try to make that work too. But be on the lookout for that. Finally, everyone who listens to the podcast, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the reviews on iTunes. That's fantastic. If you know anyone who likes Turner's Take, you know, the newsletter or the podcast or both, please forward this along. You can always go to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com and sign up for it yourself. So have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.